Dunkin' Cold Coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' Cold K-Cup Pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Buenos tardes, mi amigo. Hola, my good friends. Cinco de mayo on Tuesday, and I hoped we'd see each other again.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Hello everyone. Happy holiday season. I am Michael D. Catherwood, host of Mikey Likes You, the greatest podcast on the planet, verified by science. I am a certified personal trainer, a veritable broadcasting legend, compulsive masturbator, registered esthetician, the inventor of the penny, and a fine Bavarian cobbler, here to serve you. How's everyone doing? It seems like a little bit of life has calmed down in, since the election. But it also seems like maybe, I don't know about where you're listening, but where I'm doing my show from here in California, yay, it seems like the lockdowns are getting ready to start up again. As Harry, shut up. Please. Come here. Come here, buddy. Bear with me. Or should I? Oh! Not only Harry, but Gloria, my new puppy, is, like, I can't begin to explain how annoying she is. She's so cute and so loving. Hi, Bubba. She's so cute and so loving and so sweet, but she's so big and so annoying because she's a puppy. I mean, she's legitimately a puppy. She's only like 8, 9 months old, but she's monstrous. She's like 70 pounds. And dogs are not the smartest animal to begin with, but when you take a baby dog, that's like, it's a really dumb creature, and she's big and dumb. That's a bad combo. She breaks everything. She runs into everything. She actually, like, severely hurt my leg to the point that, like, Jason Ellis is like, oh, dude, did you get leg kicked? Did you get, because I was limping so bad. I was like, no, my dog ran full speed into my leg as I was planting. Just sideswiped me full on, like, Buakaw Sanchai high level leg kick. Took my knee out. But I love her. She's sweet. Hi, Bubba. Yes, I'm petting her as we speak. Anyway, so it does seem like maybe some lockdowns are getting ready to fire back up again, but let's keep our fingers crossed. You guys good? Can I do a podcast? Seriously? Thank you. Anyway, but more importantly, and I think more beneficial for us to focus on than the lockdowns or any type of political nonsense that may be upsetting to anyone, is the fact that it's the holiday season. Right? It's official. It's a holiday season. You can listen to your Christmas music, and you can put up your turkey decorations or whatever, what have you. Candy corns. Here's another thing. Fuck candy corn. Worst candy ever. Not even open for debate, in my opinion. It should only be used as decoration. Because I know most of us don't have access to, like, nice acorns all the time. So, the candy corn, sufficient. A sufficient alternative. It's not to be eaten. Fuck that. If you enjoy eating candy corns, maybe you should be deported. That's a little extreme. You should go to jail for a day. If you willingly eat candy corn, if you're like, yeah, this is good, I really want to buy a package of candy corn and eat it, you go to jail for a day in my America. but you can start putting it up and start getting festive and start getting happy about the holidays. I've come to love the holidays. I didn't like them so much growing up. Right around the time I had my daughter, a little bit before that too, I have to thank my wife for that, I started to develop a real passion for the holidays. I love it. I love the time with family. I love the colder weather. I love the ability to give gifts. I'm not so big on receiving them. It makes me feel weird, but I do like it when they're good. You know, I do. The laptop that I'm using to record this podcast was a gift from my wife last year, and I love it. It's the best. So I like gifts. I like giving gifts. I really like giving gifts. I like making gifts with my hands and my brain. But one thing kind of, I guess you could look at as a downside to the holidays, it's become a downside for me, and I know a lot of people who listen to this podcast would agree with me, that you tend to eat too much, right, around the holidays. And if you're someone who's always struggled with eating, the holidays can be particularly difficult. If you're someone like me who's always been really anally retentive about your eating, then the holidays can also be really difficult because you want to adhere to your diet, right? You don't want to eat a lot of stuff that you don't like to eat, but at the same time, you also don't want to be a dick. You don't want to be that guy or that girl that goes to like a holiday, a Thanksgiving meal and fucking brings your own pre-prepared turkey breast with no mashed potatoes and doesn't have a slice of pie or whatever. Hey, Harry, come here. Stop it. Jesus Christ. You know, you get what I'm saying. And I've talked about this on podcasts before where I think it's a big mistake to let your life slip by and not enjoy really good, really fantastic events in your life, which whenever the end may come for you, you're going to look back on things and you're not going to really remember your six pack, and you're not really going to appreciate your shredded delts. What you are going to appreciate is your kids' birthdays, your mom's birthday, your Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas dinner, Hanukkah dinner, whatever it may be. These shared events that you have, these are important. And I went on vacation with my family, and I talked about how I got back from vacation and I was in Atlanta, which is a great food town, like a real, real gem when it comes to especially like American soul food. And I didn't eat any. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing? Am I really that much leaner than I would have been if I didn't have a couple pieces of fried chicken, if I didn't have some, you know, mouth-watering grits with butter and stuff? Like, of course not. I could have enjoyed myself instead of being Mr. Poopy Pants with my wife and daughter who were enjoying themselves, and I was like this total stick in the mud. So I do think that it's important to enjoy yourself when it's time to enjoy yourself. But I also think like it's really very immature and very kind of silly to think that just because it's a certain day on the calendar, we should make ourselves feel like poo. You know, you got to find the middle ground. So that's kind of like what I wanted to address on today's episode, is essentially how to live an enjoyable life, enjoy your time, not be a social pariah because of your dieting, but also how to not punish yourself and use festive events as an excuse to be a glutton. But first, my friends, let me tell you about something very important. It is the holiday season. What does that mean? It means NFL. Yeah, buddy. Thanksgiving Day, Christmas Day, some of the best NFL there is. Why let this opportunity slip through your fingers without having the most fun possible? I'm telling you about my friends at Bet Online, okay? They've got game spreads, totals,
teams, players, coaching props, so many ways to bet and have fun with the NFL and a myriad of other sports. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online, and there's always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. BetOnline, your sports book experts. All right, so let's take Thanksgiving and use it as our example because it's the first holiday on the docket. Halloween has just passed. I'm sure you guys enjoyed some candy. I didn't. And it's certainly not because I didn't want to enjoy candy. I didn't restrict myself is what I'm saying. This Halloween, I guess because there was no trick-or-treating and stuff, it was a little different because of the lockdowns and whatnot. It wasn't as festive for me and my daughter. She certainly got her candy, and my parents and I tried my best to make it like a great Halloween, and she enjoyed it, seemingly. But it wasn't the same type of thing where we go house to house and she gets just tons of candy and the whole thing. And my wife was out of town. She was in Atlanta filming, and I was here in Los Angeles just with me and my daughter. So I just didn't really feel compelled. I didn't really want candy. If I did, I would have had some, and I wouldn't have felt bad about it. Here's the thing. I wouldn't have had 40 pieces. If I would have had a couple Kit Kats and Butterfingers, you know, because I set those aside. Those are like my faves. I would have had a couple, and then I would have felt good about it and been okay. You got to learn, at least, look, from my experience, learning to enjoy yourself without punishing yourself is what we've got to collectively do when it comes to having a nice life and also taking care of our health. I really don't subscribe to the never have anything yummy ever take. And I certainly don't subscribe to the eat whatever the heck you want because you only live once take. There is a middle ground, a real nice one. And if you eat through the week in a fashion that really makes you feel good about yourself and is giving you results, whatever those are for you specifically, then when it comes time for that kid's birthday party or that quinceañera or whatever it is, that nice experience that comes your way and the cake is passed around, have a slice. Maybe don't even finish that slice, but have it. And you don't have to feel bad about it. The problem I always got into, and I think that a lot of you guys can relate, is you try your hardest to be so fucking restrictive with your diet all the time. Then when the time comes, it's Halloween or it's your birthday or whatever it is. Then you have 17 pieces of cake, wash it down with donuts and a gallon of milk because you're like, oh, I'm celebrating. Then you feel awful. Physically, you feel terrible after eating that much. Then the next day, it's almost impossible to get your cravings back in order because your palate has been thoroughly abused. And you've really set yourself back more than a couple steps. You've really done damage, not overall, not just to your body, because frankly, one half of a day of eating like shit probably wouldn't in the long run do much damage to your body. What it does do is it destroys your morale. It psychologically puts you in a big disadvantage. And then you have to kind of start all over again at building better habits. And I found when I get that yummy shit that I don't normally eat, be it a donut or a hamburger or whatever, and I have a hamburger and four fries, and I know like I want more, but I'm able to stop myself, that builds more control. It builds more of an ability to eat intuitively and to eat better. It even builds more than being completely strict. That's the type of stuff that I feel like is overall long-term sustainable habit building that is really, really, really useful and is what we should all strive for when it comes to diet and nutrition. Because there, unless you're getting a paycheck for your body, you know, you're a fitness model or an actor or a bodybuilder or an athlete or something like that. Those people are in a different class because that's their livelihood. If my six pack was my livelihood, I would never eat shit like that. I wouldn't. I'd do a photo shoot and I would then maybe have like a piece of cake, you know, like be like, look at me, I'm celebrating because I've had my fine photo shoot. And then I get back on track and start weighing my food and the whole thing. That's not a way to live your life for 99.9% of us because we don't make money with our bodies. What we do make money with, regardless of what your profession is, what you make money with is being the best you. And being the best you doesn't mean that you have to restrict yourself all the time and be a fucking sore, angry piss ass. But being the best you also doesn't mean being overweight. I can't think of any lifestyle that would benefit from being overweight. And this is not an insult or in any way saying something pejorative to people out there who are listening to this who are overweight. What I am saying is that your life will be better in many ways. There's many facets of life that will improve if you weren't. Okay, that can be said without any judgment to having a body or having a weight on you that is undesirable. I'm in no way saying that you are somehow a flawed person, that you are in any way defective, that your personal character is in any way affected by the fact that you may not have the waistline that you want. What I am saying that if we're going to be honest with ourselves, being the best that we can be is being within a certain level of health and body weight. It's the number one predictor and cause of health problems globally, including smoking. When they do longevity tests, you know, real scientists do these longevity tests. One of the main things that they've found is that the abdominal area, I'll bring on nutritionists and doctors, MDs, to back this up. I've had a couple, you know, on this show talk about it. One of the main predictors of all sign health and mortality is the circumference of, you know, waist and belly button and abdominal fat. Also, you know, I know a lot of people, and I have deep love for a lot of people that are overweight. Some people dramatically overweight. My father comes to mind. He's very happy, but at his age, it's hard for him to do certain things. It's hard for him to sleep as well as he would like to sleep. It's hard for him to be as mobile as he'd like to be. There's all these things that come up, and he will even be the first to admit there's certain cognitive problems that come with being dramatically overweight. So what I'm saying is I really despise the super fit people who get on their high horse and start to in any way start talking in a fashion that's condescending or insulting to people who may not look like them or look in a way that they seem – that they deem classically healthy. What I am saying is that we all should strive to try to find the middle ground where we are enjoying the foods that we like when we want them and also taking care of our health. And that can be done. It's not easy, but it can be done. And I want everyone to go into this holiday and enjoy themselves and have the best holiday they can. I also don't want us to fall into the trap of thinking because there's, like I said, there's a certain day on the calendar, whether it be Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, Christmas, whatever. And then you say, well, now it's time for me to just exercise zero discipline and to treat my body like a fucking rag doll. So here are some tips that I would give you to help get through the holidays. Things that I've found to be useful. And a couple things that have been backed by science to, you know, help us enjoy ourselves a little more. Tip number one, exercise. Obviously, it's always a good idea to exercise, but if you can on Thanksgiving Day, leading up to Thanksgiving Day, exercise in a normal fashion. And the day before Thanksgiving, I would taper off my carbs as best as possible. Have nothing but protein and really low glycemic veggies. Salad and steak, you know, for the day before, maybe even 2 days before Thanksgiving. Wake up Thanksgiving morning and engage in high-intensity interval training to get your body really primed to be insulin sensitive and to have lower blood sugar and all these things, all these great things to go into the meal that is probably going to have a lot more sugar and a little bit more of the blood sugar and insulin chaos that comes with these crazy meals. So high intensity interval training in the morning or in the afternoon prior to this big meal, and lay off the carbs 24 to 48 hours prior to the meal. Okay, just get that blood sugar down. Get yourself a little bit more insulin sensitive to prepare for this meal. Then the meal comes. I would say a tablespoon, maybe two, of apple cider vinegar prior to the meal. Wash it down with a lot of water because it can make people fucking choke. But there has been some nice science to show that it can lower blood sugar and make you a little bit more insulin sensitive. This is not a cure-all. There's been a lot of really ridiculous claims about apple cider vinegar and how it could just, it's better than metformin and it completely cures your ability to regulate glucose and all that. No, but it does lower your blood sugar for a temporary amount of time. So the apple cider vinegar with prior to your meal, right? Go into the meal, portion it out better. Try to, at Thanksgiving is a good example would be, try to eat your salad and your turkey first. Before you have even one roll, before you have one bite of mashed potatoes, before you have one bite of yams or cranberry sauce, have turkey. Just really make sure that that's a priority. So that means no bread before dinner or anything. Have your turkey, have some salad, and then at least that way you're filling your belly up, say 75% with this protein and the fibrous vegetables. And if you eat slow enough, which we all should, or at least try to eat slower, it gives your body a chance to start digesting these foods, naturally pulling your blood sugar down a little bit. Now, when you move on to your mashed potatoes and then subsequently your pumpkin pie, try your best to not eat to the point that breaks your natural hunger level. I don't think you should be weighing it. I don't think you should be going to the point that you're being very nitpicky about like how many spoonfuls of mashed potatoes. But we all know the difference. The old antacid commercials where the guy's literally unbuttoning his pants because he can't keep his fucking distended food belly from staying in his pants at a normal waist. There's no good that comes from that because it's not satisfying, right? And be honest. I enjoy burgers and fries and fried chicken and pizza and donuts. I do. I love mashed potatoes. I do not feel good. I do not end up enjoying those same foods when I eat them to the point that I'm bloated and full to the, like, bursting. It sucks. You get drowsy. You feel I feel horrible. I don't even like to be touched. That's not okay. And that's the territory you get in where you fuck yourself up for days to come, because then it really manipulates your palate in a way that it makes it really hard to get back on the horse. Whereas if you eat 6-8 ounces of turkey and then some salad and then you give yourself a break, take a deep breath, and you then engage in like a half a cup of mashed potatoes, enjoy it, have a roll, and then have a slice, maybe half a slice of pie, and then you go, that was delicious, I'm good. I don't feel like I'm ready to burst. I don't feel gross. I'm content. I enjoyed that food. I feel satisfied. Stop. It will be hard for the first 20 minutes. But I promise you this, it will be a lot easier after. Like, you just give yourself that time to get through the rough zone, which is probably the first 20 minutes where you're watching everybody else eat more and more and more. But once you do, then the food starts to settle. You start to get a little bit of metabolic activity and the food starts to digest. And you're like, oh, you know what? I did enjoy that pie. I did enjoy those potatoes and I'm okay. I feel good. If you can stop there and stay within a reasonable level, in the long run, you'll actually start to develop these beautiful habits of restraint and getting more mindful with your eating, right? Because I'm as guilty of it as anyone. I get very detached from reality while I'm eating, and I just start filling up my face as opposed to enjoying and savoring the food. And next thing I know, I've eaten more than I needed, and I've eaten more than I probably should have, and I feel bad. I don't even mean just physically. I feel bad physically. I also feel bad emotionally, and I start to get, like, shame spiraled. Sometimes it motivates me to eat more because I start to get self-punishing about the bullshit because I fucking did that. But when I'm able to, like, have a piece of cake or have a half a piece of cake and push it away and go, yeah, it was really good. I'm okay. I feel better an hour later than I did if I had fucking broccoli and chicken breast. It's really amazing. You start to get more in touch with kind of the soul of, not to sound too corny, but that spiritual feeling that comes with being more in tune with who you are and how you really feel. And not neglecting that feeling and giving in to the temporary temptation that comes with a lot of these things. It's very similar to, look, like, if you can enjoy two beers or a glass of wine and say, I'm good, I'm satisfied, that's beautiful. If you have 6, 7, 8 beers and continue to look for more, I think we can all agree that's not necessarily a good thing. Well, the same thing goes for food. Having a slice of pumpkin pie on Thanksgiving is beautiful. Having some mashed potatoes is beautiful. Having 3 cups of mashed potatoes and then a couple slices of pie with whipped cream on top, not so beautiful, right? Because you're going beyond what you really even desire. You're allowing your kind of animal instinct to overpower your left brain. And we're not just low primates. We're animals just like any other animal. And what do dogs do? What do, you know, lions do? What do bears do? They eat well beyond what they need. Why? Because they don't know when their next meal is. The overwhelming majority of us know when we can get food, and we can get food pretty much whenever we want. Now, if you're homeless and you honestly don't know when your next meal is, okay, don't take my advice. But who are we kidding? The majority of us are not in that situation, regardless of our financial setup. So why? Why would we do? Why would we be like a dog? If you left the dog food on the floor, if you let the bag of dog food on the floor, the dog would go through the whole bag, regardless of how hungry he or she is. Well, we're better than that. There's a reason why we're higher on the food chain, is because we can kind of outthink that and do things that are a little bit more appropriate and long-term a lot more beneficial for us than what our animal instinct would tell us to do. I think that, you know, a lot of that is just, if we look at it, that's where maturity comes in, right? That's what maturity is having the ability to outthink our primal desires. Because when I was 18, I couldn't do that. If a girl offered sex to me, regardless of how fucking dumb it was to have sex with said girl, whether it was like a friend's ex-girlfriend, if it was like my active girlfriend's female friend, like, I couldn't stop. If she was just a terrible person, what if she was a really toxic person? Or if you didn't have protection and you knew, like, might not be a good idea. Pregnancy wouldn't be. But I couldn't regulate that. A grown man goes, yeah, listen, I appreciate that you're coming on to me, but I think it's better for both of us if I just take you home. That's outthinking your primal instinct. I will be very honest with you, am faced with times when I'm like, I want to break this guy's fucking head. You know, an agent or a producer or something says something or acts in a way, or even will be dismissive to my wife in a public setting. And every fiber of my body goes, I should punch this guy full swing in the face. But he can't. My animal, every fiber of my instinct is like, I need to make this man pay because he is intruding on my family and my well-being. Well, maybe. He's certainly a fucking asshole. But what good comes from me breaking my own hand and then possibly going to jail? Nothing. So my brain has to go in and go, like, what are you fucking in? A kindergartner? You're not going to punch this man, okay? You can tell him that he needs to rethink who he is and maybe take a long, hard look in the mirror and walk away. Whatever. I don't know. Do something mature. I'm not good at this stuff. What I am saying is that we all are faced with this, right? How many of us are in relationships where our partner does something or says something when you go, I'm going to fucking drop a bomb right now. I'm going to wreck this bitch. I'm going to wreck this guy. But you're like, wait. Okay. Long run, is this good? No, it's not. Same thing goes for the second piece of pie or the fucking third helping of mashed potatoes in the fifth roll. Okay? That's all I'm saying. So, you've had your high-intensity interval training in the morning. You've depleted yourself of carbs a little bit. You've had your fill. And with this meal where you've had your fill and you're using restraint and you're using self-control and you're being mindful, have some fish oil. Okay? 2 grams, 1 gram. I like to. Some good EPA DHA fish oil. For you vegans out there, look for some good algae-based omega-3s. But I honestly, if you're not vegan, go for the marine life. Well, I guess the algae be marine life. I'm the fish-based, you know, krill or fish oil, a really good omega-3. Have about 2. That will do wonders for keeping your blood sugar in check and making sure that you're not going completely off the rails. And also it will take care of later on maybe a little bit of cravings that would come from giving your palate that stimulation. Okay? Apple cider vinegar before, fish oil with it. Also, especially with holiday meals, Ceylon cinnamon. Not just any old cinnamon. Ceylon cinnamon, Ceylon. Not only does it taste great on a lot of things, it does wonders for insulin sensitivity and blood sugar. Have that with your meal if you can. Even if you're having something that's not cinnamony or can't have cinnamon added to it, teaspoon or 2 mixed in some water or coffee, tea, it really does help. Yeah, this isn't hippie bullshit. That stuff works. Ceylon cinnamon, okay? Another tip and something else that I think will, this is something you can carry with you into everyday life. Ceylon cinnamon is by the way, I put Ceylon cinnamon on at least 1 dish every day. Besides post-workout, every meal I get a chance to, if I'm having sweet potatoes, if I'm having oatmeal, if I'm having anything that can take some cinnamon, I put Ceylon cinnamon on it because it's a healthy food. Harry. So that's another tip that you can take with you in your day-to-day life. Here's another tip take with you in your day-to-day life. Drink a shit ton of water. It is not a end-all be-all when it comes to regulating your diet, but it certainly helps. Don't go into this Thanksgiving meal or other holiday meals dehydrated. It definitely has an impact on your ability to restrain yourself, to deal with cravings, and it also, frankly, it fills you up. Drink a gallon of water every day. It's going to make it so much easier to not eat to the point beyond your satisfaction. So drink a shit ton of water, especially because you're going to be doing that high-intensity interval training in the morning. So leading up, you're just going to stuff yourself with water, and that'll help take up a lot of room. And maybe it'll also psychologically help you in restraining, okay? On top of that, after that meal, it's going to help you pee a lot and get out any maybe free radical damage or impurities that are going to come from a high sugar, high fat meal. What is the other tip I can give you? Take at least 10-minute walk, good brisk walk after you eat. Postprandial walks have been shown to be as effective as diabetic pharmaceutical drugs at regulating blood sugar and insulin sensitivity. My man Stan Efferding from a couple episodes ago has been promoting the 10-minute walk after at least two of your meals a day. And let me tell you, there is the science there. So do it. Post-meal, you have yourself a 10-minute walk. Also, it'll just make you feel better. I know some of you may be listening to this in Stockholm or Minnesota, and it may not be as easy to go for an outdoor 10-minute walk, but it's really invigorating. I know I'm sitting on my high horse here in sunny California. It's like 80 degrees right now as I record this, but I've lived in cold environments. I've lived in Minnesota, not long term, but for about a month or two, and I love nothing more than throwing on a parka and a sweater and going for a walk. It's fucking gorgeous, and it makes you feel good. It really does. But what it will do for you and undoing certain damage that may come with eating a meal that is not necessarily like picture perfect is bankable, no ifs, ands, or buts, totally useful. So at least 10 minute walk. If you want to go for a 40 minute walk, good for you. Got dogs, throw them on a leash. You got a kid, get him or her and go for a walk after your meal. It really does work. Okay, so let's go down the checklist again. Pardon me. Fish oil with your meal. Drink lots of water before, during, after. Teaspoon apple cider vinegar right prior to the meal. High intensity interval training a couple hours before the meal. Make sure you're depleted of carbs as best you can be going into that day. So 24, 48 hours. Then enjoy yourself. 10-minute walk at least after, immediately after your meal, and boom, Bob's your uncle. Okay, so those are the pieces of advice that I have for you. These are things that I've applied to my life that have really helped me regulate my diet and also enjoy my life. So now I want to get into something really special. For the first time in the history of Mikey Likes You, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome my personal friend, someone that I'm closer with than anybody else in the world that I'm not related to, at @KuloBreaker on Instagram and Twitter. Please put your hands together for Rudy Cisneros. Rudy, what's up?
Hey, what's up, fool?
Rudy, how you been, man? It's been a long time since I talked to you. What's been going on?
Oh, damn. I just got out of the hospital, fool.
What? The hospital? What happened, dude?
When the Dodgers, they won the World Series, I went nuts. I'm a big Dodger fan, fool. I'm celebrating.
Okay.
And, you know, like some pistol and some weed and shit. And, like, next thing you know, I got crazy, fool. Like, I was in the hospital.
Yeah, but, okay, well, how did you end up in the hospital? What happened to you?
Well, I guess, like, I was, like, eating. I was at my friend Kuka's house, fool. We were watching out back. He has, like, a projection screen or some shit. And, like, because, you know, social distancing, fool. And this vato said I climbed on the fucking ceiling. And I started eating shingles on the roof, fool. I was eating the shingles. And then I was on the roof. I was like, I'm R. Kelly. And I started peeing on everybody. Like, pee-pee everywhere. I'm R. Kelly. I'm pee-pee. And then I started singing, I believe I could fly. I tried to fly because I believe I could fly. And it turns out I can't fly. So I broke my legs and a couple arms.
A couple arms? Well, how would you? Never mind. Well, are you okay?
Yep.
Do you care to elaborate at all?
Yep.
Okay, do you have any, like, fitness tips or anything you could give my audience?
Yeah, hey, fool, I do. Like, I started using this stuff, this stuff I got, like, it's called steroids. It's been dope.
No, it's steroids?
Yeah, my grandma, my abuelita gets them in Mexico, and they make me buff.
Thanks. Great advice, Rudy. Appreciate it.
Hey, no hay problema, fool. Hey, before I go, hey, you know dinosaurs?
Yeah, I mean, I'm aware. Like dinosaurs, like Jurassic Park?
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
All right, man. It's been great talking to you, dude. I hope that you can.
Hey, you should watch the. By the way, watch La Queen's Gambit.
Oh yeah, on Netflix. My wife and I love that show. I did not know you were into chess, Rudy.
Yeah, fool. When I was locked up, all I did was play chess and butt fuck.
Okay. Yes, Rudy Cisneros, thank you so much, man. You're the best.
Hey, dog. Take it easy, fool.
I guess I don't need to point this out, but Rudy is not a medical professional. Don't take any of his advice without checking with a medical professional first. But The Queen's Gambit is a great show. Thank you so much to Rudy Cisneros at Culobreaker, CuloBreaker. Culobreaker on Instagram. Very funny, very talented young man. And thank you to you all. I hope you have a fantastic holiday. And remember, in this crazy mixed up world that makes you think that nobody cares, I do. Be good, people.
Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed at home in your Keurig coffee maker with Dunkin' cold K-Cup pods. Just brew it hot over ice and enjoy flavor that's crafted to serve cold. The home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too. Aw, I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.